It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. As always, I am your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by Pittsburgh friend, Alex DePula.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you here, buddy. And just boring from Columbus friend, Peter Brick.
Hello.
Same city friend. I got those. They suck.
Oh,
I hate all my Pittsburgh friends.
We do. We suck.
I hate all your Pittsburgh friends, too.
Yeah.
I suck.
And we just watched the film MacGruber.
Yeah.
The 2010, I'm not going to call it a hit because technically it is a box office bomb.
It bombed.
Not recoup its budget.
It didn't. Should have.
And it was a small budget. Made $9.3 million against a $10 million budget.
Yeah.
But it was close.
$4 billion would have been more commensurate with its quality.
That's not bad. That's not bad, though.
In net profit.
Yeah, it was also not good. Man. I'm curious. I want to see a list of, the least financially successful movies. Not even against their budget. Just, the least amount of money made by any movie.
There's probably a lot worse than that.
There is, but for a major studio release,
yeah,
it's not great.
Well, they probably marketed it wrong.
They
probably didn't market it as the greatest thing ever made.
Oh, they absolutely did not. I remember the trailers. Well, I was reading it too. This was in theaters for less than a month.
Yeah.
Which,
I didn't learn about it until probably 2 years after it came out.
Like I was saying before we started, I tried to see it in the theaters,
and
when me and my friend went, it was already out of the theaters. Peter saw this in theaters.
So
we've all seen this, but Alex and I were kind of Johnny come latelys to it. How did you end up seeing it in the theater? Why was this on your radar?
I think I went and saw it with a friend and they wanted to go see it, and I was like, whatever. I don't remember what else was in the theater at that time.
Oh, this
but
makes
I was just
for
like,
great
in,
television.
Yeah, I'm just happy to hang out with my friends. So I'll go and see.
How was the experience? How did you leave the theater feeling?
Oh, man, I remember not I liked it, but also I found myself sitting in my chair just oh my God, what am I doing?
I don't know. You weren't ready for the truth of what it was, one could say.
No, I was not. No. I mean, I'd seen the SNL sketches, so I knew.
You kind of knew what you were in for.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know why I didn't like it then. It was.
You just weren't ready.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
What year was that again?
This was 2010, so you were what, 20?
I was a year out of high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were real young. You're probably too fucking stupid to appreciate it.
You might have been too dumb.
Probably. I had a lot of stupid stuff going on.
Yeah, you didn't get enough learning in you?
No.
Whether by street or by book?
No, man. No.
Let's see. 2010, this would have been the same year that Toy Story 3 came out, True Grit, The King's Speech.
Really?
Wow, that shit was all that long
ago. That was
ago.
All 2010?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, none of those hold up.
Toy Story 3 does.
I compared to MacGruber, though. They just don't.
man.
Saw them all. Loved them. King's Speech, great.
King's Speech I never saw.
It was good.
It's decent. Little feel good for my taste.
Probably not as good as Kingsman, though.
That I have not seen.
Oh, was Kingsman 2010?
Yeah. No. Kingsman was 2014.
Okay.
But I'm saying King's Speech, which also has Colin Firth, is not as good as Kingsman, which
also
has
right.
Colin
He's in
Firth.
Both.
Oh.
Yeah, and Kingsman is so good. New Kingsman comes out. A week before this episode
third
drops.
One trilogy.
I haven't seen
Oh, man, I'd be for it. Kingsman's
Damn.
So good. I think we need to make our listeners aware. Alex, you fucking love this movie.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I don't have a number. I should actually start counting, but that was it. I've seen it at least 30 times.
Oh, goddamn. I've seen it maybe six or seven.
Yeah, no, I'm obsessed with it. And it's a good, it's a healthy obsession. It's the most beautiful thing. That's been and I do not say that hyperbolically.
I know you don't.
I sincerely mean it. How much I love it, and it's so fucking good because it's so funny.
Oh yeah, it's a very funny movie.
It's so stupid. It's the stupidest fucking movie. I talk about it, and people confuse me saying it's a good film. It's not. It's stupid. but it's a perfect comedy.
Oh, it's so funny.
Because it throws out all kinds of conventions of like story and a character arc. It doesn't matter. It's just designed to make you laugh as much as humanly possible, and it succeeds.
Oh, yeah. I was reading some of the stuff after we finished the movie with Jorma Taccone and Will Forte talking about it. And I think part of the reason this movie works is because, like, this is written like a pretty straightforward action movie, and the only person who doesn't realize that is MacGruber.
Yeah.
Like, which is fucking great. And he is incredibly unlikable.
This little punk thinks his shit don't stink. Well, just to let you know, your shit does stink.
Oh, yeah, he's the worst.
He's such an awful person.
Yeah.
Seems like shit.
But he has this, like, credence to him within that world.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, like, some... And I think that's the way it was in the sketches, too. He has this, like, mystique to him, but the only thing you ever see is him fucking up.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he's just a trash person. Because, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's... They kind of lay the seeds of it in the sketches, but, like... He's homophobic.
Yeah.
Like,
crosses out the name.
He is quick to anger. Like, there are just all these huge character flaws about him. But, like, Will Forte commits to
the character. Oh, he sells it so hard. Fucking hard.
He's so good.
Just the little things he does with his eyes or his face.
Oh, yeah, like, his facial expressions are so good.
That could just be a straight up homophobic joke, but even the way he puts the pen on paper when he crosses the name out,
yeah.
And before that, when he like his eyes light up and like when he's aghast and like surprised that his old friend
that the Big Show is kissing a man,
yeah,
wrestler Paul White.
He just he sells and commits to what a piece of shit MacGruber is.
Oh yeah. I mentioned earlier your obsession with the film. For those of you listening, Alex. Maybe the only person I know with a MacGruber tattoo.
Yeah.
I'm
the only person I know with a MacGruber
tattoo. Tell everyone what your tattoo is.
It's the license plate from the car that he becomes obsessed with.
We got to turn over some stones.
Nice car, dickhead!
Fuck you!
I just have a Nevada license plate on my arm.
I assume you have to explain that to pretty much literally everyone.
Almost everyone. Because my one friend who really, really likes MacGruber, I was talking to him about it. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, no one's going to get it, but it's just for me, probably 5% of people. And he's like, nah, more like less than one.
Yeah.
Because even people that I have seen it more than 30 times, I do forget that people have not seen it in an insane amount of times.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't know, oh, it's KPR 392, it's a license plate from MacGruber. So, like, to me, it's like, of course.
How long have you had this tattoo? Is it newer?
It's newer. Okay, it's only my second tattoo. I got my first tattoo when I was 20, and I got this one when I was 31 last year.
So. Okay, because I remember seeing a picture of it for the first time like just a few months ago. I was like, has he always had that? And I didn't notice.
Last December, I was in a weird, beautiful place where I decided.
The first time I saw it, I was like, why does he have a license plate? And then like I read the license plate, I was like, he got a fucking MacGruber tattoo. Like, it took me a minute, but like,
you've seen it enough times.
I made the connections, yes.
But yeah, that's what everyone said. Like, why the fuck do you have a Nevada license plate on your arm?
And I was like, there's no way that, like, there's more to this.
Like, that SNL movie, you have a tattoo from that?
Yeah. Yeah, Peter Brick has a It's Pat tattoo on him.
Really?
Yeah. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
It's on the inside of my lip.
Oh, I thought you were going to say rectum.
Yeah.
Well, damn, that killed him. Hey-o.
I'm the first one to get in a rectal tattoo.
Nice.
And you're also the only person to get an It's Pat tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
There might be some.
I occupy a real small niche.
I looked up MacGruber tattoos before I got mine.
Yeah.
But really, like, you look up MacGruber tattoos, Google Images, there's like five. And
what are the other tattoos?
The one, there's a few... Or at least a couple KFBR 392.
Okay.
But like the way it's written in the journal.
Oh. Not the
somebody had
plate.
It on their butt, which was pretty good.
That's awesome.
And then someone else, I forget where it was on their body, but it was a Blaupunkt with a piece of celery coming out of it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, just that was pretty good. So I didn't want to get the same as them, and I just thought, I'll just get the license plate.
I would like to see a parody shirt of the portrait, the Scream, but it's just Will Forte making one of his horrified faces, like maybe when he gets his mullet chopped by a cunt towards the end.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be perfect.
Oh my god, I love when he does it so many times, and there's like so many recurring little, not even jokes, but like physical jokes, like just him screaming.
Oh, yeah. You guys are relatively well-versed in the SNL movies. Like, I'm assuming they came before this, right?
I've seen a number of them. Like, I saw some of the 90s ones. I've seen Blues Brothers and...
Hot Rod counts, right?
Hot Rod's Lonely Island.
Yeah.
So that's
Hot Rod
separate.
Also very good.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel not quite as good as MacGruber because it has an actual story.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on the opposite end of that. I liked Hot Rod more than MacGruber. I guess we have to fight now.
I guess, you know what? I guess so.
But Dustin, do you have any broken glass we can glue to our
knuckles? Do you have any
knuckles?
Broken glass so he can just beat me? Because I'm fine. No, just losing. No. I just want to lose.
God, don't be so hard on yourself. You'd win.
Well, just make that glass hard on me. And I won't have to be hard on myself.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other SNL movies before this. So you mentioned there's Blues Brothers.
Is that the first one?
I think so, because Blues Brothers was 77, 78, yeah. I want to say. Actually, it might have even been 80, but yeah, it was definitely the first one. So there's Blues Brothers, you've got Coneheads, Wayne's World, it's Pat somehow.
I
still don't understand.
I think I should watch it as an adult, because my parents used to have HBO when I was a kid, but then we didn't, and It's Pat was on HBO all the time, and I don't think I appreciate it, but like Charles Rocket's like super creepy, like obsessing over him. I feel like that was actually probably pretty funny.
Well, I think it was. I think it was Michael McKean.
Was it?
Yeah, that was obsessed.
Oh,
in
was
the movie,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, so it was not Charles Rocket was not in that.
I don't think so. Yeah. I feel like it would be weird for Lorne Michaels to produce an SNL movie of one of the handful of people.
Oh, he got
fired.
That's
Saturday
right.
Night Live.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was Michael McKean
who was
fixated.
I just that stood
on
out.
Yeah. Oh man, there was a Stewart Saves His Family with that Al Franken Stewart Smalley character. There was like the early 90s. They were just like, hey, Wayne's World did well. Let's just make every recurring character.
Yeah, they really ham-fisted a bunch.
And they never hardly touched on any of the, like they never did anything with Phil Hartman characters.
And they could have, because they were still making a bunch of them.
Oh, they absolutely
until he
can.
Got murder, suicide.
Oh my god, I forgot a Superstar was made into a movie with the Molly Shannon.
I did see Ladies Man.
Is that Baby Mama there?
Yeah,
the
that's
Mama just,
Night at the Roxbury
baby
was kind of funny.
Baby Mama?
Night at the Roxbury had its moment. No, Baby parts. Mama just had alumni in it.
Colin Quinn saying, "Did you just touch my ass? Did you just grab my ass?" That's like kind of funny.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with a lot of those is they still try and force a story in there.
Yeah.
Without and they try and get you to care and make it a real movie. And that's why I love MacGruber so much, because it just doesn't give a fuck. It's just the dumbest thing and it's just funny.
Yeah. And like out of all of them, like the sketches had the least going on.
Yeah.
Because it's literally like it's the same joke every time. But every time you learn a little bit more about that character.
Yeah. So then anyone who was even a fan of the sketch was like, well, how are they going to make this into a movie? But it was Yorma Tacombe who was involved in it, too. So it was people who knew what they were doing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the thing. I hate when people are like, oh, that's so stupid. It's stupid in, like, the final product, but there's, like, there's a lot of intelligence put into it.
Oh, for sure.
For the comedy itself. Yeah. I don't care if it's dumb comedy. If it makes me laugh, if it's just well done and it's just fucking funny, then it's great.
Yeah, I mean, and this hits a lot of the tropes that they were aiming for with, like, 80s and 90s action movies.
Yeah.
Like, this really does, like, this plays just like a straight 80s action movie with your Stallone or your Schwarzenegger swapped out with just the worst fucking person in the world, basically. Yeah.
That's funny into itself. Like, wait... Whereas I'm sure that like some of those action movies are like, wait a minute, maybe this guy is kind of like actually a dickhead.
Yeah.
Why are we like worshiping him?
Oh, and it's so great. Like, and fucking Forte knocks it out of the park, like you said. Like, it hits so many beats of action movies. Cause, like, right, like Powers Booth character is clearly like a stand in for the Colonel Troutman character from like the Rambo movies.
Yeah.
And then, like, you've got the assembling the team. You've got MacGruber, like, living in peaceful solitude.
My life is here now. Everything I care about is in these walls. I'm a man of peace. This is my home. These are my people.
Hey, hey, hey!
We'll give it back.
A man who's like gone away from the war and all this. And then you've got like the vendetta and the ominous villain, mm-hmm. Dieter von Kuntz.
MacGruber, it's Kuntz.
Yeah.
Which, like,
I love when they fucking explain the backstory. Because he's like, he stole his fiance,
mm-hmm.
like, started cheating on her, and then forced her to get an abortion. And he's like, yeah. I'll never understand why he hates me so much.
It's really fucked up.
Thanks. You know, you're a good guy.
It's just perfect. Like, it just, they really commit to just painting MacGruber as just the biggest piece of shit.
At every step.
And it's like, there's not a single redeeming thing about him. Like, he's just bad across the board.
And that's what's so great about him.
Oh.
He likes ripping people's throats out.
He likes throats.
Yeah. He might be a serial killer.
probably technically is. There's like little, I think I enjoy it more each time that I watch it.
Yeah.
I still genuinely fucking love it every time I watch it. And I've seen it probably about 35 times.
That's a lot.
And there's like little details I still notice, especially during the beginning credits, like
the
terror plot foiled, 200 killed in process. Like,
yeah.
Of the newspaper scrolling across the screen, shit like that.
I really like, I don't think I'd ever caught before when Dixon Piper, Ryan Felipe's character, is like rattling off like all the honors that MacGruber has.
Yeah.
There's like, no, like, this is excessive. Like, like
16
someone could hearts. Like, because someone could like be a soldier, because he's also like, he was somehow a Green Beret and a Navy SEAL and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
60
and like the
hearts,
actual
13.
Amount of time, that, however many tours served in all these places.
Yeah, well, one of the, what was it, like, 6 tours in Desert Storm?
It didn't last that long.
It's like fucking a week long of actual ground combat.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, everything in there is so good. And it's like,
and then they just gloss over it to leave it in there like that. So, like, until you do notice it, that's just an added little joke.
What is it? It's like, I mean, how many action movies do you hear where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, this guy's the best of the best. And then it's like, they really went for broke with MacGruber on it.
It's
like, oh, this guy has 4 tours in Vietnam, like 100 KIAs, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, yeah, no, 16 Purple Hearts.
Yeah, well, they just do it in such a way that you don't really think about it. It's definitely not the first time you've seen it.
Yeah. I also, one of my other, the things I love, too, is the WWE superstar cameos in this. Cause like
I didn't even know that they were wrestlers. Because I don't know wrestling at all.
Yeah.
But I had said people tell me that.
I grew up and I followed wrestling very closely during the Attitude Era. So like when Stone Cold and The Rock like came to prominence.
Mm-hmm.
So like I recognized Chris Jericho and Mark Henry. Who else was there? There was the Great Khali, who was like more like the last decade or so, like after I stopped watching. And then you had the Big Show, who is like the Tim Meadows of the WWE, because like he's just been there so long.
Yeah.
And every time you see him, it's like, oh, this guy's still wrestling?
Well, Chris Jericho, is he the only, he's the only one with actual lines, right?
Yeah. Chris Jericho's the only one that has any dialogue in the movie.
He was in Pittsburgh for whatever reason a couple months ago, and he was, I think he was doing comedy or he was doing some kind of show where he was paired up with some comic, and I saw him post on his Instagram, and I immediately texted him. I was like, just I'm not like trying to get anything from him, just fucking tell Chris Jericho how much I love MacGruber. He's like, he left the day before, so my message didn't get that's all I wanted him to hear. And he probably would have been like, what are you talking about? That was like 10 years ago. Like, but I mean, that scene though is so fucking funny.
Oh, Chris Jericho's
just
great,
just a perfect example of like I don't even know how to explain it or describe it. It just makes me feel so good. The jokes that they just like force.
Yeah.
That are, they're good. They're really, really funny that work in like the medium of like a movie.
Yeah. Well, and just that, like,
and that's why I say them.
That brief. Yeah. Oh my God. That back and forth with him and MacGruber is so fucking good.
Shot for shot. Just like, oh, MacGruber, you and your dick jokes. Cause that was like, kind of like the joke was like, oh, he is a big dick.
Yeah.
But then they extend it and they just build like, on drive it into the fucking ground.
I was it's one of the funniest parts of the movie is when the van explodes and kills kills this elite team.
He's like, he has his hands up in the air as he's explaining. Yeah. Homemade C4 explosive
that I personally packed in there with my own two.
I was super disappointed when that happened.
But that, yeah, I was so super bummed because I was like, oh man, I get to see Chris Jericho being a badass this whole movie. It's like, oh no, he had a couple of funny lines and now he checked out.
I was like, oh man, I wanted to see these guys do stuff.
There's so many things. I love that I forgot that all the wrestlers Jedi ghost at the end of the movie during the wedding.
Yeah, the end, the like title cards are the end shit at the end. Just like the photos are really good. Oh, yeah. Too. Nice little addition.
And just, and they just really commit him defecating into the body bag of Val Kilmer's character.
I really liked Val Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer was really good in this.
He's funny in it. Yeah.
Like, this, like, seriously, like, I think, like, of my, like, probably my five favorite Val Kilmer roles. Is this him as Elvis in True Romance, Mad Mardigan in Willow, Doc Holliday in Tombstone, and
Tombstone.
Oh shit, why am I blanking on
Ghost this? What else is that dang guy?
Was he in Ghost in the Darkness?
He is in Ghost in the Darkness. I like Ghost in the Darkness. That. What one did you say?
I was just trying to think what else he's been in. Oh, Top Secret. How about that?
I have actually never seen
Top Secret. It's so
obviously
fucking
Top
good.
Gun.
It's really, really good. It's like on par with Airplane, you know, early Zucker Brothers.
Oh, nice.
The Saint was pretty good. Well, I don't know.
I only vaguely remember the Saint.
I don't know if it's a good movie, but like he was pretty good in it.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh,
that's
that's
the other thing that I really
like.
That
was
like
first fat Val Kilmer movie.
Yeah, and he's so fucking good.
That movie's really cool. I haven't seen it in a
while. Yeah, Shane Black. I'll fucking watch anything that dude writes or directs. He's so good. Then let's see, who else? So we got Kristen Wiig.
My teammates are getting shot.
This is before she had left the cast.
Yeah.
So like
she's like she probably wouldn't do that now.
Yeah.
That kind of movie.
Because this was this pre Bridesmaids? I can't remember when fucking.
I believe
it
was
before Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
That was maybe 2012 or maybe earlier. But yeah, I think it had to be pre-Bridesmaids.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Because she wouldn't play like a sidekick-ish role like that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was fucking great.
Ryan Felipe was really good.
The straight man. It's just so cool that he was in that.
Yeah,
him.
And what... He's one that like I'm not really sure what the trajectory of his career has been.
I have no idea. I feel like that was a downturn for him.
Post-90s?
Yeah.
But, like, he's so good in this. Another one that's, like, super underrated is a movie called The Way of the Gun. It's got him and Benicio del Toro. It's, like, this weird, like, kind of crime, like, semi-action movie.
Heard of it, never seen it.
It's really good. It's written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote The Usual Suspects.
Okay.
And it was his directorial debut. And it was another one that, like, I felt got, like, a really mixed reception. And it's one that initially when I saw it, I really wasn't super into it. But, like, that was mainly because, like, I wasn't super into, like, flawed heroes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, now going back, like, I really like that movie a lot.
You've matured.
And then Ryan Felipe is really fucking good in that role.
He needs more. He needs to do more. He needs to get more.
Yeah.
But no matter what happens, he will always have been in MacGruber.
Yeah.
So he's sealed his place in cinematic history.
There you go.
Or just history, really.
Just history.
It's not. MacGruber's not going to be talked about forever, unfortunately.
Probably not.
This is maybe the saddest I've ever seen you, and that's saying something.
But it should. Yeah. yeah, that is saying something. Good point. But it should be.
No, I agree. Well, I mean, it seems like the second one is going to happen. So,
They're
trying to.
The script is written. It's been done for like a year.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. It just depends. It'll be a smaller budget for sure, but I don't care. Like, it's going to be the same exact people involved, so they'll just find a way to make it fucking funny with, like, smaller set pieces.
I mean, Robert Rodriguez made Desperado for $6 million.
Damn.
And I feel like there was way more action in that movie than this one, so yeah. I think it's certainly doable. Granted, was, like, in the 90s, but, like,
yeah,
I feel like there are cheats or ways around. Just ask Robert Rodriguez to help out.
I don't care what they do. I'll support it.
Oh, yeah. Peter, what about you? You going to go see MacGruber too?
You know, I mean, I don't know. If I got something going on, then yeah, I'll go. Go.
Just watch MacGruber a few more times.
Here's the thing.
Soak it in.
So I liked watching it this time. I enjoyed it way more than I enjoyed watching it the first time. And okay. I'm not sure why that is.
Because your comic sensibilities have matured?
The thing I really, really want to drive home to people about it is I don't think people who truly love it think it's like it's I think people who haven't seen it think it's like you like it that much, it's like a so bad it's good movie. It's fucking so goddamn good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like perfectly done. And I feel like it does have a little bit of that reputation of like, it's just like kind of bad so it's funny. It's a fucking perfect, flawless comedy in every way.
Yeah, I think you have to get past the surface of it. And once you can, like, look past that,
appreciate it for what it is, which is just the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah, and, like, watching it a second time, I think now, at least in a lot of ways, I would put it up there with movies like Napoleon Dynamite, Nacho Libre, Hot Rod, and, yeah, I think those three. Yeah,
I think it's largely like it. Like, I feel like you rarely see like character driven comedies done well.
Yeah.
And this like is definitely a shining example of that. Like, the only other ones that I feel like do it really well, like Coen Brothers movies, are usually pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Stuff like Fargo and Big Lebowski. And
it's
all
just
that
a matter
stuff.
Of committing super hard to what they are.
Absolutely. And like we said, Forte does that. Like, one of my favorite things in here, me and my friend were talking about the movie after we'd both seen it, and the fucking car stereo, the Blaupunkt, like, constantly, like, he never leaves it in the car.
Nope.
Like, in every scene, either he's carrying it or he's making somebody else carry it, or, like, he sets it down somewhere. Like, he never leaves it in the car because he's so convinced that someone is going to steal his shitty 1980s car stereo.
Yeah, which is like, I guess probably was a real thing in the 80s.
Yeah, and that's like, and it's such a little thing, but like, it's one of those details. There's like they really paid attention and they really like dug in their heels and doubled down on this fucking character.
Yep.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And the other, like we talked about, like how he just constantly fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many things. Like, when he just crashes the nightclub.
I'm sure that some of you guys are just here on vacay, but most of you are big pieces of shit who are somehow connected to Dieter von Kunth.
And announces that he's looking for Kunth. Just like, you had the advantage. He thought you were dead. Like, he just
flips out and throws the microphone through the glass and then leaves. Like, whoa!
Yeah, like there's not a single thing he does right.
No, he literally does nothing right, aside from, I guess, at the end with the rocket.
Yeah, he disarms the missile.
That's it.
And even then, like, he does that, like, through, like, almost like brute force.
Yeah,
like it.
Yeah.
Like, he's supposed to be this genius, as the theme song reminds us.
Oh, there's, like, a bunch of green.
Yeah, none of his stuff really worked.
No, none of it.
I mean, celery butt kind of works.
That's the only actual gimmicky. Well, there was the tennis ball.
The tennis ball bomb that didn't work.
No, that did like not work. Yeah,
I really liked that, like the little montage when he went back to his trailer, like before the climax.
He got all the pieces.
He got all that shit out. They never showed him do
anything. Yeah, he never
with
did
it,
anything
which is
with.
Great.
I like the very subtle Die Hard reference with the dead security guard taped up, flipping the guys off.
That's maybe. Holt stands up to me as like the funniest thing I've ever seen is when he throws the box of, because there's so many elements to the joke, throws the box of throat lozenges onto the table and says, "You're gonna want to take the whole box."
Throat
throat lozenges.
You're going to want to take the whole box.
Oh, my God. It's like, it's so fucking funny. I can't get over that. Just, I never will.
The throat rip.
Awesome. Got another throat rip in.
Cool.
Yeah. And then he fucking tapes him up with his middle fingers up. Yeah.
Like, hey, your dead friend said, fuck you.
Pretty good idea, huh?
Which one, the desecration of the corpse or the water ambush?
You're all wet and poor grammar and spelling.
Yeah, he writes like a child. Yeah. Or early on, the note that he gives to Vicky Kristen Wiig's character, he says, I'm at the Pentagon. And it just looks like a 7-year-old, like, yeah. Scratched it in pen.
When he finds the notebook with the license plate number. Oh, my God. That notebook joke is so good. It's like The Shining.
It just, like, that, all work that and no volume play swell, like, Jack as he keeps boy. Reading more.
Yeah.
Like, part of me wants to see, like, the actual, like, prop notebook they used and what else. Because, like, I feel like there's probably more in that notebook.
Oh, for sure. I bet they shot a lot more like shit than they didn't.
There's probably like 50 pages yeah. in that notebook.
Because whoever was doing it was having a fun fucking time drawing yeah. it. Just the, like stick, like slightly more than stick figure of him hanging from a tree, shitting all over the car. It's like dropping shit.
One of my favorite things too is the two sex scenes.
Oh my God!
In the movie, because sex scenes are always like for the most part in movies like this, they're shot like they're supposed to be. I don't want to say tasteful, but like they're supposed to be. It's like, oh, it's this beautiful thing mm-hmm. happening. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, here's Broken Wings by Mr. Mister, and then it just cuts to him just humping her. And just making these
I'm gonna fill you up
noises.
I'm gonna fill you up.
Oh my God. My girlfriend put it out when we were watching it. Like Kristen Wiig like keeps turning away during that scene. I was like, it's like yeah. there's no way she wasn't losing.
Oh, she was
like,
probably
how
like,
do you do that scene and keep a straight face?
Oh my God.
I'm gonna fill you up.
What?
I'm gonna fill you up.
Okay, just let me do the talking.
Oh, yeah, because he's like on top of you and he's like so into it intense.
Committing.
Like, that was like, it was super cool on him and, God, what's her name again? I can't remember.
Kristen Wiig?
No, the, his.
Oh, Maya Rudolph?
Yeah,
Casey?
When Maya Rudolph on the tombstone.
Yeah, oh my God, like, on the
tombstone. Wow, wow. Yeah.
Fucking shoot.
I'm gonna shoot too.
I'm gonna shoot again.
God, she's like, so
gonna
good.
Shoot. I'm gonna shoot. I'm gonna shoot too. And they're both like exactly on the same level. Oh my God.
Oh, Maya Rudolph's fucking great. I honestly, I wish she'd been in this more too.
Yeah.
It's like she's another one. I think she's one of the most underrated cast members to ever be on Saturday Night Live.
She's good. And I cannot fucking remember what it is, but some newer show she has a part in.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. I can't remember, but she was great. And I wish I remembered because now I sound like an asshole. But yeah, no, I saw her something recently, which was nice to see that she's still doing shit.
Oh yeah, she's
fucking killing it.
She's fucking good.
But that sex scene, the two sex scenes, just the same song being played.
Yeah,
the
Broken
Wings.
Such
a fucking good joke.
Oh yeah, just doubling down on the same joke.
Yeah. That's what they do so well, is like just double down on it. How many fucking times does he talk about cutting off cunt's dick and shoving
like
it in his
mouth?
Like
7 or 8 times.
I'm going to cut off your dick and shove it in my mouth. You're like a broken record.
Like, the only record I'm going to break is the amount of own dick in your mouth.
Well, then there's, what, the 4 or 5 times that he says, let's go pound some cunt.
Let's go pound some cunt.
I've noticed you say that line all the time.
It's a good line.
Is it?
Yeah, I know good lines. I'm really good with them. I work them up and I even have a line for after I defeat Kump.
Great.
I love like Ryan Felipe's just like disgusted reaction, like when they're in the compound and like he goes to like fist bump him and like he just refuses to do it. Yeah. It's like, no, come on, it's a good joke because it sounds like, I was like, no, I'm not doing it.
He's like the only actual straight man in the movie.
Oh, he's so good. God, like, yeah, I feel like anyone watching this who doesn't know anything about Will Forte or like the sketch, like would be very surprised. Like literally every single thing that happens, Like, especially the moment outside the trailer when they show up to shoot him. And then, like, you see MacGruber going, so he's like, oh, he's gonna save Ryan Fleming. Yeah, oh, no, he's going to use him as a human shield.
Yeah.
And then, like, after they shoot him up in the front, then he just, like, spins him around and they shoot him in the back.
Oh, he's the worst. It's so good.
Oh,
how you doing, Peter?
I'm good. I'm thinking about the movie and the life choices I've made up until this point.
But it's good. I hope that you could ever love something as much as I love MacGruber.
Yeah, I really hope that too. I think that's been the most inspiring thing about this whole.
Oh man, did you hear that? You inspired somebody.
Good. Yeah, you did.
You're losing your touch, Alex.
Never do that.
I wish I could feel like that about anything in my life. The way you feel about MacGruber.
It's like all I have. So don't wish too hard for it.
No, I wish too hard. It's better to have one really.
I got one thing.
Yeah, I'd take the one thing over like a bunch of like things, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
I'm looking for my MacGruber.
You'll find it someday.
Thanks, man.
How did this happen that I'm the least bleak one on this podcast?
Dustin, be quiet. Let us suffer.
Oh, well, if God, I'm losing my touch.
If it's anything else. But MacGruber is like, also, no bullshit. When I'm watching MacGruber, it's like maybe the happiest I ever am. It's like such a pure distillation of joy.
That's pretty intense. And I can tell you mean that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're being hyperbolic.
No, I'm not at all. I fucking mean it so hard.
That's
crazy. It makes me feel so happy because it's just, I don't even, like, without breaking it down or anything, because we have, like, talked about some of it a little more in depth. It's just so fucking goddamn funny.
It is. I do think it's funny. I like it.
It makes me laugh so much.
I don't know what kind of holds me back in some ways from it, but I think I just have to warm up to it more because this is the second time I've seen it. And you said this is what, like,
I'll keep on you.
You're in the 30s. You're in the 30s about it.
Yeah.
Like that many times you've seen it.
Yeah. Watch it 28 more times and then call Alex.
It's still just as good.
I will.
I seriously, I hound people. My brother was like, it's like, all right. I've made sure that he watched it enough times. He was like, okay, I understand now. It's really stupid. It's not a real movie. It's just like a beautiful expression of laughter.
I like that.
And now he's on board.
He's on the MacGruber train.
He's on the MacGruber train. And you know what?
He's
need
a
that
fellow
train.
Gruber.
As soon as everyone in this world's on the MacGruber train, we're still all going to die, so who cares? But like, it'll be a beautiful place to exist because we'll all be one with each other.
There you go.
It'll be good. In MacGruber.
MacGruberdom?
MacGruberdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we were to get a MacGruber sequel, what would you want to see in it?
I would hope that Val Kilmer would
still be alive.
No, he's at least so, like, dead. He's so
least,
dead.
Like, maybe one more flashback or something.
Or maybe it's a ghost.
A ghost, yeah, because they did that already, and it would be good to bring that whole thing back.
The ghost bit would be good.
Or even, like,
a twin brother.
So, in this, they did, like, the flashback. Yeah, twin brother. Oh, fuck, that'd
clone.
Be awesome.
A clone.
If just any way they would bring him back.
A bunch of Val Kilmer
It was funny
clones.
That they did the flashback of them in college, and they were clearly
that was,
all so
that
fucking
That was probably
old.
The best part of the movie
the
for me. Val Kilmer just playing
guitar. I don't know. I just would want to see the exact same type of thing. And I'm sure they would if it's going to be Yorma Tacombe and Will Forte. I basically trust whatever they'll do. So I don't want to see anything in particular other than just whatever they come up with.
What about you, Peter?
What would I want to see?
What would you want to see in a MacGruber sequel?
More old ladies' breasts.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
The old lady.
I don't know. More current SNL stuff. Or past SNL. Like, I mean, I know he's not on there, but Jay Farrow, that would be fun.
Yeah, Jay Farrow.
That'd be fun.
Bobby Moynihan in the mix.
Bobby Moynihan. The one New York kid.
Oh, Pete Davidson?
Yeah, Pete Davidson. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg. Just get the whole gang together. Just get the whole...
It'd be good to see
crew.
Some Andy
The
Samberg.
Whole, like, yeah, just run the whole circuit.
Bill Hader.
Bobby Moynihan, he isn't a movie coming out.
Really?
Taron Killam wrote and directed a movie called Killing Gunther.
Gosh,
that's
damn.
It's got him,
Schwarzenegger,
Bobby Moynihan, Schwarzenegger, CC from New Girl, and a couple other people. but it's basically all about Terran Killam, like, hiring this team to kill Gunther, who's like the best hitman in the world, played by Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
And
that
it
sounds
looks
pretty cool.
It looks really goddamn funny.
Yeah.
And it looks like the first role in a while that, like, Schwarzenegger, I don't want to say Schwarzenegger looks like he's having fun, because I feel like he genuinely enjoys making movies still and doing everything he does. But, like, I think it's the first thing, like, post political career that looks like it's up to the standard that a Schwarzenegger movie should be.
Yeah.
And it looks really goddamn fun and super funny, and I'm super stoked on it.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I just want to see MacGruber in Die Hard. That's basically what I want.
Him or, in Die Hard?
Like a,
or just Bruce, like, Willis in the next MacGruber movie.
Not so much. I'm kind of, at this point, I'm honestly kind of over Bruce Willis. Like,
oh, man. Oh, you better not let him hear you say that.
What's he going to do? Be in a shitty remake of Death Proof that Eli Roth directed? Or not Death Proof, but Death Wish.
Damn right.
I don't know if you, is it out yet?
No, but it looks bad.
I don't know, man.
Like, it doesn't look like Death Wish. Like,
I've never seen Death Wish.
I hear he's just building an airport now.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
I mean, he's that's building an airport?
I think he just
built Bruce it. Willis airport?
Just has an airport.
I hope it's a cool airport.
I don't I'm know anything saying. About it. I have nothing to back that up. I think that's his game now.
He wasn't willing to be in Expendables 3, so he's fucking dead to me as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, good. Well, he'll be dead for real soon.
Oh, wow. That's, oh, jeez. Man.
No, he's probably not. Who cares? He's probably never seen MacGruber.
Yeah.
The last Die Hard sucked. The last two Die Hards kind of sucked.
Was there two post-rated R?
There was the PG-13 one, there was Live Free or Die Hard.
That got an unrated DVD release.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then A Good Day to Die Hard, which is bad.
I did not see the last one.
Oh, it's fucking awful. Jai Courtney is his son. And literally the only thing Jai Courtney has been good in is Suicide Squad, surprisingly, as Captain Boomerang. Mm-hmm. He was one of the only parts of that movie that I did not hate.
I never saw it.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
A lot of strong feelings over here. I'm just sitting on the couch.
Fuck them both.
I'm just saying, and I feel like I've probably said it on this podcast more than once. Good Day to Die Hard wasn't even the best Die Hard movie the year it came out, because Olympus Has Fallen came out that year, and that was a much better Die Hard movie with Gerard Butler.
Didn't White House Down come? Like, there were two movies
White
that
House
year
Down
about,
also came out
about
that year.
White Houses getting invaded.
Yeah, and Olympus Has Fallen is the one that matters, though.
Cool bodyguards fighting. Because
that
their
one
cool
was
president.
Directed by Antoine Fuqua, who directed Training Day, which is fucking amazing. And White House Down was directed by Roland Emmerich, who did Day After Tomorrow and Independence Day and the 98 Godzilla with Matthew Broderick.
That we all loved.
Yeah. So just saying, one of them's got more of a pedigree to them than the other. And also Gerard Butler is, like, I don't think Gerard Butler will ever be as good in anything as he is in Olympus Has Fallen. Olympus Has Fallen is so goddamn good. I cannot stress that enough.
It was cool.
I gotta see it.
I'm just saying, at one point in the movie, Gerard Butler promises to stick a knife in a dude's fucking brain, and then later in that movie, he sticks a knife in the dude's fucking brain. That's all I want. I want my action heroes to follow through on their promises.
That's fair. If only everyone would fucking do that.
You gotta be a man of your word in this day and age.
Yeah, in this goddamn world.
Yeah. A lot of talk going around, not a lot of doing.
Not a lot of knives and
brain knifing, you know? Not a lot of braining.
Stab your local brain in the brain.
We commit. Literally, we did Olympus Has Fallen for the podcast when it was still Hell Have You Not Seen This. And when we were watching the movie, when he stabs the guy in the brain, literally all of us watching stood up and cheered, "In the brain!" And it was the closest I think I will ever come to understanding how people get excited at sporting events.
Yeah.
That probably was exactly it.
Yeah.
That's probably exactly it.
Comes from
smash
deep.
His brain.
Within you can't explain it.
Get the ball. Stab him. Get the president.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, deep thoughts on sports crossovers into cinema.
Well, cool. Let's start winding it down. Let's do favorite scene, favorite moment. Peter, let's start with you.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Lot to unpack here.
I guess celery butt.
Which one?
The first one with Will Arnett, and he has a piece of celery in his butt.
And that music.
Oh, yeah, because the music is so good too.
He's distracting the henchmen while they get shot by his son.
And then he said he killed the guys.
Yeah, I was like, I killed him.
Just killed the guys.
It's like they're dead because I shot them.
Because I distracted them.
I gotta admit, that sort of worked.
Sort of worked. I just killed three bad guys.
They're dead because I shot them.
Because they were distracted.
Also, when Felipe does it, we don't get the bird noises.
No.
Yeah, Felipe.
Do the bird noises.
Felipe phoned that one in.
And he's not fully naked.
Yeah. He phoned that celery butt in. I don't...
Full bottom.
All Felipe, a butt coward.
Yeah. You can really see his level of commitment there.
I looked at all the moments. That's the one that you went with, Peter.
There's probably others, but that...
Nope, celery butt. I'm
going
to
put
it on your tombstone.
I'm not changing my choice. That's just, like, that's just stands out way more than anything else is the time that guy put a piece of celery in his butt to distract
Peter
some
Brick.
People.
It's beautiful.
1990 to... Who gives a fuck?
Dead at the age of who the fuck cares?
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
I'm putting that on my tombstone.
Oh my God. That would be, for real, would be the best thing to have on a tombstone.
Can you have a swear word in a cemetery? I don't know.
I mean,
it
it's your
depends
tombstone.
On the,
yeah.
There's probably regulations, but I'm sure there's a cemetery.
Dustin Meadows.
I bet by the time.
Loving husband, dead at the age of who gives a fuck.
Yeah, I bet by the time I kick it, I'll probably have like a family ranch or something. And
Alex, if you pay for my headstone, I will get that on my headstone.
Yeah. I will.
Hey,
I'll save the money. Let's all make a
pact here. If we die. But
when we die.
Yeah, if one.
Because death is the only certainty in this unsure world.
Damn right.
Yes.
Damn right.
If one of us dies before the other two have to chip in for that person's tombstone.
Perfect.
To get that
GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And a Kickstarter.
That'd be a good GoFundMe.
I'm
going to
be so sad if I don't die first.
Ah, fuck. I want it.
Damn it.
I want it.
Now I got to pay for it out of pocket for when I do bite it.
Oh, man. Just have them painted on, you know? Just like a wooden plank.
I'm going to commit. It's what MacGruber would have done.
Yeah. Well, it's what's more important, the words or what the words are carved on?
Committing to the bit, what the words are carved on.
Yeah, but the words have to count for something.
Well, now we're just in a circle here.
Time is a flat circle.
So's the earth.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, it's like a cracker.
Yeah, it is, guys. We're sitting on the back of a giant turtle.
It's
and
round.
That turtle has elephants standing on it, and the world is just a big old.
The world is a vampire.
It's
finally.
A big old people wafer. People wafer sitting on some elephants sitting on a giant turtle floating through space.
We're getting in some real Kubrickian shit over here now. Yeah. All right.
Well, you know what? That's just what I feel like, and you guys can't tell me any different.
This is the last time I let you drink a 40 during the movie.
It was before the movie.
You get all saucy when you're on the juice.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know where to go from
there. All right, I'm powering through. This is the eighth time I've turned my head to ask Alex. Alex, favorite moment, favorite scene?
Well, I think I said it, but the throat lozenge. Box of throat lozenges. But also,
I forgot.
Oh, just because that, oh my God, it's just so perfect. Like
you're going to need the whole box.
You're going to need the whole box. I mean, he rips his throat out and they already established it. It's just, but there's so many. Like the celery thing after whenever he bites the celery, which
gross.
That's a joke in and of itself because it's gross. But then he says to Kristen Wiig,
I washed it.
Then he silently mouths to Ryan Phillippe, I didn't. It's like, that's what they do is they just make the jokes longer and fucking more funny. And the whole license plate thing is a huge,
so good.
Long running joke. But then whenever the one moment when he like sees the in the back of the car that he's vandalizing, he sees the newspaper. It's like,
oh my God.
What's
damn,
it called?
Damn,
State of the Union.
State of the Union.
Yeah. He realizes that that's what is going to attack him. He's like, he flips out, but then he runs to get the gasoline so he can still burn the car.
Keep burning.
Because that's his main priority.
I'm going to go save the world.
over like saving the government.
But you see, he has that energy of like, I just figured it out, I gotta save the country, but he burns the fucking car first instead.
What the fuck?
Fuck you, asshole.
Oh man.
I don't know, basically the whole movie.
That's fair. For me, it's a toss up, I think, between Three Saints. The gas scene, definitely, when he's vandalizing the car. Yeah. The entire like everything leading up to that, him sleeping with Vicky and then going to the cemetery and then sleeping with the ghost of his wife. Yeah. I fucking lose it every time when the van blows up. And he's just running. You guys are
no,
okay. He's so convinced that they'll be okay.
Yeah.
You guys are okay.
Just like,
like every time he freaks out, I will say there's I think one missed opportunity for a great joke in this movie. Because in the first scene, like after he blows everyone up. And then he's begging Dixon Piper to help him. He's just like, I'll suck your fucking dick.
Fuck me or get fucked by me. You can watch me fuck something. Just point at something in the room and I'll fuck it for you.
And like, he has that whole exchange. Later, he says that to the Colonel, to Powers Booth's character. And like, part of me had it in my head that like, for some reason, I remembered him saying, not this time, MacGruber. I was like, that would have been so great.
Yeah.
I will suck your fucking dick. I will let you fuck me.
I'm sorry, Mac. It's over.
Because, like, don't need anything beyond that. But, like, just assume that, like, MacGruber has sucked his dick out of trouble.
Yeah, that would have been just, like, dry, like, same way Powers Booth delivered all his other lines. Yeah, that would have
been so good. But... yeah, such a funny goddamn movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Let's wrap it up with plugs.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, Peter, what do you got coming up?
I got one of your shows tomorrow. It's a backyard show.
This isn't going to come out for another 2 weeks. We already discussed this.
Nothing.
Jesus Christ, that's not true.
Is it? Shoot,
October 3rd. The Roast of the Disney Heroes.
Oh, shoot. I can't remember my calendar, man.
Oh, my God.
No, yeah. October 3rd, the Roast of the Disney Heroes. Yeah, I'll be playing Hercules.
Yeah, our second encore for that, if it...
Isn't it our third?
No. It's only our second for the Heroes.
Oh.
Second encore.
Oh, so there was a first, and then there's an encore, and then we start counting from the encore.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it is our third time doing that show.
Third though. In total. It's a good show. You guys should buy tickets to that.
Yeah, it's not already sold out. Yeah. I don't think it is.
It's not sold out. She would have said.
But it's very close to it.
Yeah. Yeah, nab your tickets. It's a bunch of Disney characters saying very awful, disconcerting things to each other.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Alex, how about you? What do you got coming up?
I have a house show tomorrow here in Columbus.
Again,
the one we're on. Yeah, that's the one
house
I said.
The house
show
would have been over 2 weeks old by the time this comes
out. Okay,
that
was the same one. I'd sell a couple
idiot.
Weeks. You know what? A couple weeks ago, right here in Columbus, something real special happened. Backyard of someone's house. I don't know. I don't know if you got any listeners in Michigan. I'm going to do a bunch of shit in Michigan in November. Don't know I do know specifics, but... look me up on Facebook and I'll post about it.
Keep your eyes.
And I have peel your eyes back, like in a Clockwork Orange. I have my own podcast called Give Me Murder or Give Me Death, which is true crime comedy. You know, we try and strike that balance. Who cares? Nothing matters. And I do a really stupid web series because I love stupid stuff. On Facebook called Yeah, You Like This. It's also on YouTube under The Pits. If you look up The Pits page on YouTube and then Yeah, You Like This.
Yeah, You Like This is fucking great. It's one of my favorite things.
Thank you.
So goddamn funny.
Play a weird German idiot.
Great, great German idiot.
You know what? Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, buddy.
Thanks, Jägermeister.
For me, same as always, check out WhiskeyBearComedy.com for upcoming shows. We've got another backyard show Saturday, September 30th, with Dan Alton from Louisville, Kentucky, headlining. And then on Monday, October 2nd, We're going to be doing another live reading of a, by the time this comes out, I'll figure it out what the horror movie is that we're doing, but right now I'm still figuring it out. So it'll be very funny, whatever I choose, on Monday, October 2nd. So go to WhiskeyBearComedy.com. Stay updated on all these hot shows. Alex, Peter, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks to Eric for once again running tech and being our information looker-up, our fact checker. There you go. Much nicer sounding. And thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time. It's the Big Dumb Picture Show. Not a moment too soon. Oh, boy. I felt it coming on. I was like, oh, I got to dismount. I got to get the outro out. Yeah. I can't sneeze on air. It's unprofessional.